I would not be surprised that some of the greatest resistance are people that have investment in pharma.
There's so many answers that lie dormant within those plants that we have yet to tap.
Hi, I'm David Crosby, and you're listening to Reefer Madness, the podcast.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast, with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk, we're back. I hear you were smoking meat today. And when I told my wife that, she said, smoking meat or smoking weed? I said, I don't know. I don't know if there wasn't both, but what kind of meat were you smoking today?
I was curing meat today, actually. Okay. And I was in my backyard, and I actually have a charcoal barbecue. So I had a pork loin on the barbecue, and my neighbor came back over the alley and said, hey, what are you smoking in your backyard? And I had to, what do you mean? He said, no, let me clarify that. What are you smoking on your barbecue? So I was doing that in the barbecue, but I was also curing some meat for Cossack camp. I was starting to prepare for the summer Cossack camp that I have talked about. And so I'm curing some pork. So today I was taking pork out of hard salted pork, and I was putting it on my slow smoker. So I've taken it from the brine. It was in brine for four weeks. And I've now got it on the slow smoker for about 12 to 24 hours. So trying to make some prosciutto, I guess.
Nice. Sounds very lovely.
Yeah. And then tomorrow we're going into the slow cooking Chinese style. So yeah, I was smoking meat in my backyard.
Excellent. All right. So today we're going to talk to Terry O'Regan from Brains Bioceutical. Another fascinating gentleman that I met in Florida at CanMed 23. I met him at lunch, him and someone else whose voice you've heard on here, Marcus Rogan. We're having lunch. It was lovely and chatting. The two of them discovered that they were both triathletes. So the next morning they were going to meet at the crack of dawn for a swim in the ocean. And, you know, they turned to me and I'm hoping they were joking, said, so are you going to join us? And no, I'm probably not going to come swim with the two triathletes in the ocean. But that's sort of where I met Terry. And he's an interesting guy with an interesting background. I don't, you know, he does a better job of this than I will, but I'll just he started in pharma and in a company that I was familiar with as a pharmacist, but also I volunteered with the MS Society, Multiple Sclerosis Society in Canada, for years. And his company made some of the things that we use to treat MS. So just an interesting confluence, because we talk about using cannabis. One of sort of the nobody complains about using cannabis for MS spasticity. So it was just an interesting, worked out well. So I've quit babbling. Kirk, you said you really liked this interview. Anything you want to touch on the top before we go into it?
Yeah. I want to prepare the audience for a couple things, actually. When I was talking to Linda Bell-Neves, Dr. Bell-Neves, in episode 104, she talked a little bit about the limitations that we're having in Canada with getting research done on pharmaceutical products. So cannabis as medicine. A lot of the research happening in Canada right now is cannabis for recreational purposes. But trying to get GMP products in Canada is very difficult. If you remember from that episode, she talked about getting recreational cannabis can be the cannabis you buy from the rec store. But if you're going to research medical quality random studies, you have to have cannabis that meets GMP standards, right? So these guys,
Bioceuticals.
They are a global leader in the European Union for good manufacturing practice on a specific product, and that is certified production of naturally sourced active pharmaceutical ingredients. So there's, you know, they use API in this, in the interview. He uses GMP in the interview, and that's what it means: good manufacturer practice and active pharmaceutical ingredients. The other thing I find fascinating is because my question is, who certifies you, dude? Like, who is it, right? So just really to get down in the weeds here real quick, his company, and this is why I'm impressed and I want the audience to know before they get into it. His company, Brains, and it's brainsbioceutical.com. I have it on our webpage. But they are evaluated by the European Medicines Agency, which was founded in 1995, European Medicines Agency. It works across the European Union and globally to protect the public and animal health by assessing medicines to rigorous scientific standards and by providing partners and stakeholders with independent science-based information on medicines. So these guys are certified by the EU agencies following good manufacturing practice, which is a scientific guideline. And I downloaded the guideline, Trevor. Now, without getting deep into it, I will have it on our webpage for those that are very interested. But it gets down to the micronutia of how this company is being evaluated. Everything from how they, like the API derived from animal sources, APIs extracted from plants. It all starts, they start getting evaluated from the start of the process. So the plant is gathered. So they've got their hemp, or they've got their cannabis, marijuana. And then from the point that product enters the lab, everything that touches that product, everything that they evaluate follows a guideline and is assessed. So these guys are cutting edge. And what they say is for natural medicines meets the standards that every other medicine has. So your digoxin, your dilantins, your nitroglycerin, like it gets down to that minutia. So it's very important the audience knows this. This is not just some fly-by-night guy that's analyzing cannabis.
No, and
it's the minutia.
And we'll talk about this more at the other end. Love it or hate it, this is guy who came from pharma, and by all intents and purposes, although we're dealing with cannabinoids, this is a pharma company or a pharma adjacent company.
Well, let him explain it, because I want to discuss it after the interview, because I want to get into this. This is one of those, you brought Big Pharma to Reefer Madness, the podcast, indirectly. Yes. I want to talk about that. So
let's listen to Terry.
Yeah.
Terry, we met, it's getting close to a month ago now in Florida, and you were a fantastically interesting guy with one of the many interesting accents we collected there. We had on our, some of our little blips, we have everything from Texas accents to German accents to yours, which apparently is kind of a mixture of UK and South African. Let's start with, before you were with Brains Bio, you were in the pharma world. Where were you before Brains Bio?
No, thanks, Trevor. So it's an absolute pleasure to and privilege to be having this conversation with you. I'm passionate about what we're doing here at Brains Bioceutical. And I think, you know, my background is pharma, and I've spent my whole career trying to unlock new treatments for patients that desperately need novel treatments to treat some of the devastating diseases that they face. And so prior to that, I have worked in Big Pharma. I started my career at GSK, Glaxo Wellcome, and then GlaxoSmithKline, Beecham's. And then I also then moved into biotech. And that's where I spent the latter part of my pre-Brains Bioceutical career. I spent 12 years at a company called Biogen. I was the managing director here in the UK for the UK and Ireland operations. And I was also the chairman of the industry group. So I worked alongside then our prime minister was Theresa May to try and bring about healthcare reform here in the UK, and also, you know, working with Sir John Bell around the industrial strategy for life sciences here in the UK. So that was a real interesting sort of part of my journey. And then I moved to the USA with Biogen to manage the neurology business in the USA. So the multiple sclerosis business primarily. But, you know, we were also breaking into Alzheimer's and into ALS.
Yeah, you guys were really big in, continue to be big in multiple sclerosis. Taking off my pharmacist hat, one of my, we'll call it volunteer hats, is I've been involved with the Multiple Sclerosis Society of Canada for a lot of years. Anyway, yes, your previous company has lots to do with MS.
Yeah, and you know, for me, I was passionate about that because it is the number one debilitating disease of young adults. So, you know, a lot of these diseases we try and treat as an older population, but with multiple sclerosis, you're having 20-year-olds or 30-year-olds that are being robbed of their careers and their lifestyle. So, and that same passion is what I brought into Brains Bioceutical, because, you know, part of my journey into this space was so many of the neurologists that I dealt with, as you know, sativa is there for multiple sclerosis and specific in particular. So that was my first introduction into sort of the cannabis-based sort of medicines to treat some of these really devastating conditions. But as I explored it more and more, you know, whether I was talking to oncologists, whether I was talking to neurologists or psychiatrists, the message was always the same, which is, Terry, we know they work. We, you know, there's enough anecdotal evidence here to suggest that they work, and a lot of our prescribing is offline, non-scripted. But what they were saying is that we desperately need a company to come along and do some of the clinical studies that are required to tell us how to use it, when to use it, at what dose to use, what combinations of cannabinoids we should be using. So that was the catalyst that got me into this industry.
And just maybe a side note, maybe along the same line, something we were discussing was in Canada, more so, a little less in the U.S., people have access to, we'll call it, the whole flower cannabis medicinally. You're saying in the U.K. anyway, not that it doesn't exist, but still really hard for people to get a hold of medicinally.
It is. I mean, so here in the U.K., we know that there's about 3 million patients that would benefit from cannabis-based sort of medicine. So, you know, anxiety, epilepsy, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder, whatever it might be. But only about 25,000 patients have got access to that at the moment, which is like 1% of the population that could benefit from it. So as much as I'm really appreciative of those companies that have got involved in the medical cannabis space, it isn't necessarily providing the solution, you know, for these patients. But also, you know, one of the things that we have to be aware of, Trevor, is that there's a very fine line between the medical cannabis plant and the recreational plant.
Sure.
And what has happened is that we've started to modify the plant sufficiently that we've now got very high levels of THC in the plant. And as a result of that, you know, it comes with some complications. So we need to know what we are prescribing. You know, I'm all for it, but know what you are prescribing, because we know that these products are safe, relatively speaking, but they still come with drug interactions. They still come with side effects, and we have to be aware of them. And some of them can be quite serious. So that's why we at Brains Bioceutical have gone down the isolate route, where we extract the isolate from the cannabis plant. And then we're looking at various levels of combinations of either treating diseases as a single agent or in combination.
So, and I do want to talk about some of the partners and interesting things that you guys are doing, but how about just simple stuff like, because it's really hard to get cannabis across international borders, where is your raw material that you're isolating from? Where is that coming from?
Okay, so we have multiple sources where we bring in the crude material into our premises here, our manufacturing site here at Kent in Kent, and here in the UK, it's the old Pfizer facility.
Okay.
We've just invested in that facility. So we've increased our manufacturing capacity eightfold. So, you know, we want to make sure that we can provide a pharma grade cannabinoid, an API, for existing demand as well as for future demand. So as you know, as you go through your phase one, your phase two, into your phase three, and then ultimately to commercialization, so the volumes and the demand for increased volumes increases. So, you know, we want to make sure that whoever partners with us, that we can continue to service that customer or that partner as they progress through their clinical program. But yeah, so we have multiple sources where we bring in the crude material. It's from industrial hemp. And then what we do is we purify it here in the UK, and as I say, in the old Pfizer facility, but down at Kent, Sandwich in Kent.
Okay, and so it's industrial hemp, so that means the majority of what you're bringing in is from the US, or is it from all over the world?
All over the world.
Okay. So you're isolating, are you solely isolating CBD at the moment, or are there other cannabinoids that you're getting out of the hemp?
So that's a great question. So at the moment, we are solely isolating CBD. That is what we currently have in our portfolio. But we have an R&D department that we are looking at bringing a crystalline oral formulation of Delta-9 THC. We're also looking at an oil for Delta-9 THC, and then we're looking at CBN and CBG. So those are the other APIs that we're looking at for 2023 and early part of 2024.
Very cool. So I know, because I heard you give a talk, that some of your partners that you are that you guys start with the API, and then they're doing interesting trials with are finding some cool stuff with starting with your API. Do you want to tell me about any of the projects you guys have been working on?
Yeah, so you know, we are involved in a number of clinical trials at the moment. You know, a phase three clinical study in refractory epilepsy, and those results would be reading out quite soon. We also involved, you know, with Trin Therapeutics that have been doing some really interesting studies and looking at combining our CBD in a nano formulation that they have patented and developed in combination and looking at in combination with the current standard of care, and then looking at whether it could reduce tumor sizes as well as prolong life. Now, the results are preclin. But the results are really encouraging. So they've looked at melanoma, they've looked at lung disease, and they've looked at colon cancer, which are three of the five top causes of fatality. And in all three of those sort of preclinical sort of initial work that was done, it reduced the tumor size when combined with their CBD formulation with our CBD in standard of care. And that was really encouraging. We also are pursuing ourselves an insomnia study with the TGA in Australia, and an anti-inflammatory study. And then we've got MHRA and a FDA-approved PK study both here in London and in the USA. So, you know, we're walking the talk. We're doing our own studies. We want to advance it into developing therapeutics. But, you know, as I say, we are supporting academia, biotech, and research institutions, as well as doing some of our own studies. In addition to that, I would say that, we've got some interesting partners that are working with us. So, you know, it's common knowledge now that Royal DSM, which is a world-leading blue-chip pharmaceutical company, particularly in the area of formulations and enhanced bioavailability mixtures, has invested in Brains Bioceutical. And what that also does is part of the journey is to make sure that we can develop formulations that increase the therapeutic effect, that increase the loading and the stability without compromising the safety, but also are more sort of patient friendly. So, in a pediatric sort of indication, you most probably don't want an oil. You want something else that is more convenient to take. And this is where they are helping us significantly in terms of looking at the way we can formulate these cannabinoids to make it more patient-friendly and more conducive to the studies that we're going after.
No, and that's really important in case people forget, because it's easy to forget. The cannabinoids, they're oil. They're a great big molecule that doesn't really get absorbed all that well through the stomach. So making into another formulation that will get better absorbed, like whether it's nanoparticles or something else, it is a big deal for A, just getting the cannabinoid into people, and probably from, you know, a pharmacist's point of view, consistently getting the same dose every time. So yes, working with a company who specializes in getting stuff into somebody in a reliable, consistent, bioavailable way is a big deal.
Absolutely. And, you know, when you're looking at the different conditions that we're looking at the moment, you know, it's sort of dermatological conditions. You want an ointment. When you're looking at some of the sort of lung diseases, COPD or asthma or whatever, you want a safe inhalation. You know, when you're looking at cancer, you want to make sure that it is compatible with chemotherapy and it doesn't reduce the impact of the chemotherapy. So it's a really specialist field. And that's why, you know, as I said, you know, we're trying to tick all the boxes in terms of doing the science properly, you know, isolating it, formulating it, and making sure that we are well familiar with the, you know, what are the drug interactions, what are the side effects, so that physicians know exactly how to prescribe these products.
Cool. And again, if I say this wrong, but what I didn't realize until I, many years into being a pharmacist, and I don't think the general public does, is big pharma companies don't do a lot of the basic research. There's a lot of basic research done in universities and other places, and then there's big pharma who takes it to the public, and there's sort of that gap there between, we'll call it university science and big pharma. And this getting across this divide, this translational research, is often taken up by, we'll call them, biotech companies or companies like yours to get important research across the gap. So is that kind of one of the hopes, is, you know, one, two, or a dozen things that you develop will eventually sort of be bought up by big pharma?
I mean, that's an interesting observation. And what I'd say, Trevor, is, you know, I often hear, like, why is big pharma not getting involved in cannabinoid-based treatments? And I think, you know, the onus is on us as an industry. I don't think we've done the science often to the level that it would be approvable by the FDA or the EMA or the MHRA here in the UK. And that's when pharma gets interested. You know, when you can show in your phase one and your phase two that it's safe and that there is an efficacy signal that is attached to it. And that's when, you know, they start to get interested. And I think we've also got to move away from calling it cannabis-based medicines. I think we've got to call it what it is, whether it's a COX-2 inhibitor or what a TRPV1, you know, inhibitor or whatever it might be. I think that's when pharma is going to become more and more interested in this space. So you're absolutely right. We've got to do the initial early stage clinical development. And then I think pharma will start to get more and more interested in this space.
Yeah, and that was something you had mentioned before and really stuck with me, is whether you want to call it stigma or something else, the whole, for a chunk of the population, calling cannabis-based medicine is a positive, but big pharma doesn't like that. So, you know, calling it by, it's not wrong, but like you said, if it was a TRPV receptor antagonist, you know, happened to be done by a cannabinoid, but call it a TRPV receptor antagonist, and then you know it's more palatable to pharma. That I think that's a fascinating idea that had never occurred to me.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, those that have gone before us have, I mean, a lot of the medicines that pharma are now commercializing have had the origins in plant-based medicines. But, you know, we tend to say, you know, that just the mode of action seems to define what it is. And I think we need to do that in this segment as well.
No, like you said, way back in pharmacy school, the quote they always gave us was about 25% of everything in our pharmacopoeia was originally plant-based. So it could very well be higher by now.
It is higher. People have, I think, as we've moved away from it, so pipelines have started to dry up. So hopefully we can reverse that trend back into getting the enthusiasm around some of these sort of plant-based medicines.
Terry, this has been fascinating. I really appreciate the time. Was there anything I missed, anything you wish the audience had heard about Brain's Bio, any rabbit hole that I forgot to go down, any sort of last words?
You know, all I would say is I'd love to end by saying I really believe that we've got a real sort of opportunity here as an industry. You know, there's been a number of review papers that have been done around the endocannabinoid system. And whether it's the Kepos paper, whether it is the Lowe paper that was done in 2021, the conclusion was always the same, which is by modulating the endocannabinoid system can potentially unlock therapeutic treatments for some of the major diseases that humans are facing. And I would just say, you know, to the industry, you know, the opportunity is in our hands, and it is how we navigate that. So whether we are in medical cannabis, whether we are doing what we're doing at Brains Bioceutical, which is pursuing early stage drug development, let's just raise the bar. Let's hold ourselves to the highest standards, and let's give people a confidence, be it the consumer, the physician, or the patient, give them a confidence again in these tremendous treatments that are out there that we are starting to discover and be able to bring to the market.
Thank you very much, Terry. That was great.
Thank you, Trevor.
So, Kirk, a couple things before we talk about the evils of Big Pharma. So, something, again, that actually came up in my, back when I was, I guess I still volunteer for the MS Society, but I got to go to an MS conference or two, and something I didn't realize until that conference, this was years ago, is there is university research, and then there are drug company products, and there's a gap. So usually the brilliant new ideas come in some university lab, but there's not necessarily a direct line from the university lab to Big Pharma. And you'd kind of think that, you know, if some brilliant young PhD comes up with a new treatment for X, you would think that the pharma companies would be all over it. But they're not, because frankly, they want a winner, right? They want something that's going to make them money. They're a profit-making company, which is fine. But there's this gap. You know, I've heard it called death value, but I think it's more properly called translational research. How do we get something out of a university lab and get it sort of ready for prime time that a pharma company might be interested in it? And, you know, 10, 20 years ago, we would call these biotech companies. That was kind of what they would hope to do, is find some interesting research in a lab, get it, you know, do maybe a phase 1 clinical trial or something, and get it sort of to a point that a pharma company would be interested in it. And that's kind of what Brains reminds me of now, is sort of a cannabis version of a biotech company that is taking some of the stuff out of the cannabis plant, getting it kind of ready for prime time, that maybe, you know, not that they couldn't do stuff on their own, but, you know, also might be ready for a huge pharmaceutical company sort of to pluck it later. There. The other thing I want to get out before we do the evils of pharma is I thought it was fascinating because hadn't thought of it before. In the UK, in Great Britain, in England right now, it is hard to get medicinal cannabis. It's theoretically possible, but it's just difficult. So one of the thoughts in Brains Pharma Bioceutical is if we could get the good stuff out of cannabis and turn it into a pharma product, then it would be easier for the public to have access to. Now, I know there's going to be some whole plant people who that drives them crazy, but it's not a terrible thought. And even just the naming stuff, you know, instead of calling it cannabinoid medicine, name it by the enzyme it works on. Is this is a TRPV inhibitor? You know, in pharmacy world, I have ACE inhibitors, which, you know, are blood pressure. So we talk about the enzyme, we talk about what it does, and it does blood pressure. So instead of, you know, basically, and it might be a stigma thing, cut off all the everything that says cannabis to it and introduce that to Pharma World. So I think that's a good place to segue into Kirk. What do you think about Big Pharma and cannabis?
Oh no, you're jumping to conclusions here on me. I'm very intrigued by what these guys are doing. I'm of two minds, of course, and I agree with you. The green culture and the whole entourage effect, they're going to be that group of people. But there's a quote that really stuck out for me, and the quote was, "By modulating the endocannabinoid system, can potentially unlock therapeutic treatment for some of the major diseases humans are facing." I find that fascinating. I've had these deep, dark conversations. I've had people in the green culture yell at me about, you know, destroying the plant and taking it away. And Linda, again, Dr. Belniz and I were talking about this, is when Big Pharma touches, and these guys are 1 degree removed from Big Pharma, right?
Yes.
They're 1 degree
yes, they
removed.
Are.
But when Big Pharma comes touching cannabis, that's when we get scared. And I agree. I don't want to see cannabis become a money-making thing for Big Pharma. Now, I get it. Brains, they are researching cannabis, and they're going to want to get their money back eventually. I get it. I understand all that. But, and I'm fascinated by the fact that why shouldn't we take the plant apart and find its components? I was going to challenge you, and I should have said it beforehand. Can you name some plants that derive medicines? I mean, foxglove?
Yeah, that's right? Digoxin.
Yeah, they draw.
Oh, back when I was in pharmacy school, the quote was, you know, 25% of the pharmacopoeia of the drugs we use, you know, came from a natural source. I'm sure it's higher. But, you know, detrodotoxin, we use it to sort of immobilize, freeze, paralyze muscles during surgery. That was from a plant. There's a whole bunch.
I think it's fantastic. Yeah, I like
belladonna. Everyone, you know, sure. Beautiful woman. That was a mushroom. Yeah, it's lots and lots and lots. You know, Mother Nature is a way better chemist than we are.
Yeah, I love what these guys are doing. I think it's fantastic. They're doing it at the cutting edge. They should be in Canada, but I'm of two minds. I think, why shouldn't we take this plant apart? And I love the fact that these guys are doing it at the highest possible level of cleanliness and scientific scrutiny. That's the word I've been looking for all day. The scrutiny, and also, it gets right back to, again, I'm quoting Linda because I thought that was a fantastic episode 104. One of the big disconnects that we have in cannabis medicine in Canada is that contemporary medicine, Western medicine, I don't even know what to call it anymore. They are uncomfortable with plant medicine. And we've discussed this. How do you dose cannabis? I mean, we've got strain print that's out there that you know, monitors taking subjective data into objective data. But this is different. This is like getting right into the chemistry of the plant and saying, hey, which cannabinoid, and not even calling cannabinoid medicine. I could go on and on. I think this is exciting. I if we're going to change doctors' minds, this is how we're going to do it.
Well, this is definitely something we'll call your quote unquote traditional doctor would be comfortable with. If a drug rep came into the clinic and says, I have a new TRPV inhibitor, they'll go, hey, cool. What's that? You know, so
derived, and it's derived from CBG. It pains me. It pains me to say this. And 5 years ago, I probably wouldn't have. But now what I'm learning more and more about cannabis, I think this is the way we got to go. And this is sort of what Dr. Brown-Eves was saying. But again, when you talk Big Pharma, I get really uncomfortable because you can grow this plant in my backyard and damn, if you're going to start charging me the prices of insulin to use it, right? However, if it cures my MS, I'll pay for it, right?
Well, and I think it also leads, and maybe I'm turning into the Kirk in the conversation, but I've mentioned before, I'll mention again, it amazed me at the CanMed 23 and obviously it's always a middle way, but there seem to be the whole plant medicine people, you know, entourage effect, and you know, you can't get a good effect unless you use the whole plant. And then there were the take the plant apart, find an individual cannabinoid, and treat an individual indication. One cannabinoid, one indication, because that's kind of the pharma way of things. And I don't think it's not the never the twain shall meet, but it's definitely two schools of thought. I like that we still have, you know, Dr. Russo and Dr. Dedi Miri, who say no, there's a middle way when we use some of them, the cannabinoids together, sort of in an entourage like effect, and sometimes we don't. So, you know, I think the middle way, the Canadian way, the middle way might end up being the best. But yeah, it's definitely, you have the whole plant. It often seemed like I had the whole plant people on one side and the pick it apart people on the other, and not a lot of middle ground.
But I think this has to happen. I think we need to break the thing down and see, you know, does CBN actually help with sleep, or is it a combination of CBN and CBDs, or is it a combination of one particular strain that you can take as oil or you can smoke? This all has to happen. This is how we as people explore our world. Yes, we know the plant works. Yes, lots of people benefit from it. But my goodness, if we could isolate one specific cannabinoid that triggers the dopamine effect inside the Parkinson's mind, and you go, ho, ho, I mean, you know, I'll pay for that.
Back to one of the other, I hope it's sometime I get him to do an interview, but Dr. Miri from Israel had a great talk where he said, you know, because his lab literally looks for new cannabinoids, and you know, on this one set he got it down to, if he pulls out this one cannabinoid, it helps treat, I'm gonna say leukemia, it treats this one disease, one cannabinoid, one disease, that makes pharma happy. But then the whole bunch of experiments later, he needed three to treat, I think it was breast cancer. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. But another disease needed three cannabinoids. No, not one, not two, not some mishmash, but it needed three. Like it truly needed an entourage effect of three cannabinoids to treat the disease they're looking for. So I think there's going to be a little bit of both.
I think this is great. Once again, I compliment you. This is a fabulous guest. Takes my knowledge in a different way. I have explored the webpage. I'm Kirk Nyquist. I'm the registered nurse.
I'm Trevor Schufeld. I'm the pharmacist. Terry O'Regan, thank you very much for chatting with us. We really appreciate it.
Reefer Madness, the podcast. We'll have stuff on our webpage you can refer to. I think this is great. Another good one, Trevor. Well done.
Hey, that was another good one. Thanks, guys. It's Renee here back in the studio just to clean up a couple of things that we have left to do to end the episode. One is that, of course, we'd like to acknowledge that we produce our shows on Treaty 2 territory and the homeland of the Métis. We pay our respects to the First Nations and Métis ancestors of this land, and we always like to reaffirm our relationships. The other thing is, we like to go out with a song, usually a request from the guest. Terry didn't have one, so Kirk made a request, and he was just at Dauphin's Country Fest recently, a massive country music festival, closing act, John Fogerty, great show, but nevertheless, Kirk camped there, and he shared a campsite with a band called the Sean Taylor Band. And so he would like to go out with a song by them. He also pointed out that Jin Jin misses the scratches and pets. And I don't know exactly what that's code for. Let's just say that the wives of the band fell for Kirk's dog. I think that's probably the better story. Anyway, here's the Sean Taylor Band and Tan Lines.
Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Madness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Madness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next.
Hey, baby, take a ride with me out to the lake, down to the sea. I don't care as long as you'll be right here, right beside me. I got a little heavy on my mind, need your love and just to pass the time. A couple cold ones and I'll be fine, leave this world behind me. Floating lazy days is where you'll find me. I wanna see your tan lines, let the world just flow by. Margarita by the dark side, let our troubles just flow away. I wanna find a little downtime, skinny dipping in the moonlight, stealing kisses looking so fine. And tomorrow I'll do it all again. The world can go to hell and I'll be fine. I wanna see your tan lines. Maybe we could head to Mexico. I heard a lot about Kokomo. Who cares as long as we go somewhere in the sunshine? Put a little bit of faith in me. Need a double dose of vitamin D. Margaritaville on repeat. Listen to the engine whine. Any particular harbor suits me fine. I wanna see your tan lines. Let the world just flow by. By the dark side, let our troubles just float away. I wanna find a little downtime, skinny dipping in the moonlight, stealing kisses looking so fine. And tomorrow I'll do it all again. The world can go to hell and I'll be fine. I wanna see your tan. I wanna see your tan lines, let the world just flow by. Margarita by the dark side, let our troubles just flow away. I wanna find a little downtime, skinny dipping in the moonlight, stealing kisses of your soul fine. And tomorrow I'll do it all again. The world can go to hell and I'll be fine. The world can go to hell.
Okay. Did you listen to America's Express?
I did. And yes, of course I had heard it.
Of course.
I had just missed. I thought it was American Express for the last 30, 40 years.
American Express. Okay.
Well, you know, maybe that'll have
roosters
to be the Easter egg.
And roosters and women with petticoats. Okay, cool. All right, man.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right.